Rob Cairn, CEO and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at stunningdigitalmarketing.com. I'm here today with my friend Nicole Verma, and what we're going to talk about today is the whole aspect of app development, apps on smartphones, where they matter, and how they play out in the marketplace, and what you as a company or a small business unit could do to use apps to benefit you. We met the first times many years ago at a conference in Toronto called Word 11. We reconnected. We got talking about apps, and we thought it would be a great opportunity to share the whole app journey with you, the business owner. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Gord. Hey, Mikhail, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. So, you know, you and I have known each other a little bit. We've kind of reconnected. We met originally at WordCamp 2011, right?
So yeah, that's
long,
right.
Long time ago at a conference in Toronto, and we got talking again. And you kind of work in the app space, which is interesting. So tell me a little bit about what you do, what your business is, and how you got into the app space.
Okay, so yeah, so I'm working in the mobile apps. I've been doing it since 2012, so it's been 7 years now. And we were in the web space prior to the app space, and we kind of were looking for something new. We had all these conditions of what we wanted to do for a business on that. And when the app space opportunity kind of came, what an app is at the end of the day is business marketing, programming, and design. That's essentially what makes up an app. And between me and my partner, we had the design and the business marketing side of it. So we thought we'd have the competitive advantage of getting into the app space. So we got into mobile apps in 2012. We've built a number of apps, gotten a number of installs, and built a good amount of revenue in it. And as of this year, now doing consulting for other apps as well. So now getting into the mobile apps, I've had people ask for consulting, and it's been kind of fun. So now doing that as well. So working on our own projects as well as consulting for other businesses around mobile apps.
That's really cool. Now, you say you went from doing web space to the app space. Why and what kind of differences are you seeing by being just in a web space to being in the app space?
So I think with the web businesses we had, we weren't doing client work on it, but they were kind of hitting their cap on what we could do with them. Mm-hmm. We really couldn't build them any bigger than we did. And I thought if we're going to do something new, we might as well find something with a huge opportunity. And 2012, you remember, the app space was only 4 years old, right? Yeah. Like 2008 was when mobile apps actually became a thing, which is kind of crazy now. Honestly, we kind of saw a lot of opportunity for the long-term game there. And we've also sold a number of apps as well and kind of cashed out on that. So I think the reason we did it was just because we saw there was a lot of opportunities mixed with our competitive skill sets.
Yeah, and I think the reason people need to think about apps realistically is we all have a phone in our hands or within a reach from us, right? Or a tablet, like, let's be fair. And I think the last stat I read was 60 to 65% of all searches are done on a mobile device right now, right?
So yeah. That would not surprise me, because we're totally moving away from computers to apps to mobile right now. Like, everything is being done on mobile.
Yeah. And I think for some people that's really understood. I mean, I know for me, like, I'll be sitting, and the two apps that kind of come to mind right away from the app space is mobile banking. And I was reading a stat the other day that even in the banking space, believe it or not, 70 to 75% of people want to do their mobile banking through the app, not through the web browser. So that's interesting in Canada. And the other is ordering things like Amazon, things like online shopping. I know from my tendencies, I'll go to an app before I'll look at the browser kind of things. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And thing even now with apps is, like, you can do payments for a food, just go right into restaurants, pick up your food, right? And everything is done with an app. If your credit card is information's in there, it's so easy, right? They remember your order from last time, right?
Yep.
Or say you place your order right on the app, you walk in, you pick it up, you walk out. There's nothing else that needs to be exchanged, which is super easy.
And two good examples of that, like with food, that come to mind right away, one I use all the time is Skip the Dishes in Canada, right? I mean, your credit card's there and they deliver it. And the other one is the big one is Uber. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not hunting around for money in my pocket. My credit card number's attached to my Uber account. Order my Uber, I get charged, and I'm done and goodbye and forget about it, right? And it's problem solved. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about apps. We were talking about this a little bit offline. So Android or iOS and why?
Yeah, we definitely were having a conversation about that. Personally, I like iOS, but I think that there is a room for both. Right? So it really depends on the user and what they want. If you want simplicity, go over to iOS. You're going to pay a lot more for it, right? If you like fiddling around with your device and if you like adding other stuff onto it, right, then Android is definitely a place to go. And things with computers, the same thing with mobile. The mobile is the exact same way. Where guys who like to actually like customize their devices and customize their phone, Android makes a lot more sense, right? For people who just want simply done, iOS makes a lot more sense. Yeah, and I can go in. There's like a lot of differences between Google Play and iOS, and I can discuss some of those if you want.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. What are the differences between Google Play and iOS? The App Store on Apple.
So if you look at the big difference is you got to remember Apple is a design marketing company, right? Mm-hmm. So they want things to look pretty. They want things to look, easy to be. If you ever look at their search is just like terrible, right? Where Google comes from a search background, right? They're a search company, right? So they're more about algorithms. They're more about data, right? So if you ever go to the two app stores, like Apple's all about curating data, right? Making it look pretty. Right, if you want to succeed on the Google Play Store, you need to understand how their algorithms work, and the same way with SEO, you need to work with their algorithm. So it's a very different mindset. The other big difference which we were talking about earlier was money. As somebody who's on the side developing apps, right, say it's been 20-1 from my experience favoring Apple. So I'm going to make for $20, I'll make on the Apple App Store. I'm going to make $1 on the Google Play Store. Yeah. Now, if I was building a social media network or if I wanted to get a lot of users, then Android would be the place to be because Android's going to have a lot more users than iOS, right? Yeah. Now, if another thing we were discussing earlier was if you're looking to complement an existing business or you're looking to complement something, you'd have to actually do both because you're going to have users on both sides.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. Also, in terms of apps, and I've probably used my fair share, I was saying to you, before we got on this, I've probably got over 100 apps, closer to 140 apps on my phone. I'm a bit of an app hog. I like to try stuff out and then I get rid of it and try stuff out. And I pay for apps too. I do both. What works really well from an app perspective, just a straight app or an app with in-app purchases? And if you can talk about what in-app purchases are for listeners.
So in-app purchases, basically purchasing something in the app. Right. So if you buy like extra virtual currencies or if you buy goods or anything you're buying like right in the app is considered to be an app purchase. I think it's not really one blanket fits all. I believe monetization has a lot to do with user experience. Mm-hmm. You need to really understand your user experience. Like there's 25, like we've used 25 different ways to monetize. So there's a lot of different ways to use it. And sometimes just advertising would make sense, right? Sometimes in-app purchases would make sense. Sometimes sponsorship would make sense, right? Yeah. Sometimes just doing a paid app would make sense. So I think it really depends on your users and understanding that user experience.
Yeah. Is there a sweet spot for paid apps, like a number that works really well, or does it just kind of depend?
There always is a sweet spot for paid apps, but I would say that sweet spot keeps on changing because I know at one point, like, we were doing 99 cents apps and then we put it up to $2.99 and all of a sudden the perceived value was there. But with that $2.99, we're giving $25 worth of in-app purchases or paid mm-hmm. stuff in the free version of the app. Because some people would rather just have all the extra bells and whistles. They'd rather have no advertisement, right? And rather do that. So I would say sweet spot really comes with testing. Depends on the industry. And you really got to test to find out what works in your market. But that said, there's always a market for users that just would rather pay up front and don't want to worry about it. It's becoming a smaller and smaller market, but there's still that market of people who would prefer that.
Yeah, I think you really do got to test. And I don't care if it's an app, web property, whatever you're doing. Many people make the mistake of just, where did you get the number? Oh, I pulled it out of the air. I've heard that more times than I can count. And I'm kind of chuckling as I say that because we've all probably done it at one time too. and said, where did you get this number? Oh, $5.99 sounded good, right? So we'll just deal with it.
And that's why I'm hesitant to give you a straight answer on it, because depending on the person living here, if they own like a flower shop, right? Or if they have like an e-commerce website, like it's a very different, you can't really say one thing will fit all, right? So it's like, you got to sit down, you got to look at the situation and then figure out the best solution for that.
Yeah. What are your favorite types of industries to work with or design apps for? Do you have a preference?
My favorite type of industries. So I've done a lot in the gaming industry. And the reason I've done that is because when we got into this and we were working on our own projects, that's where the data was, right? We were in an industry that was only 4 years old, right? And I'm more analytics, I'm more systems and business processes, right? Like we were talking about the testing and you got to use the data to grow. Right. And games was where both the data and the money was at that time. That said, we're now doing other apps, right? Like quotes apps and budgeting app, which we were talking, we just released a budgeting app last week.
Yep.
Right, just for our personal on it. But I think the standards could be, there are standards that could be used across all industries. There are things you need to be doing across all different types of industries.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, the gaming business has kind of exploded. I mean, you can probably thank Zynga for that, right? They're kind of like one of the big guys. But what most people don't realize with companies like Zynga is they've put out thousands of apps out there. Like they've kind of played the let's flood the market and see what falls routine, right? So they've just kind of flooded. They're probably the most known, but there's several others out there. And I think there's starting to be a shift. And I think where the shift is happening is we're starting to see more productivity type apps arrive on the smartphone as well, right?
So yeah, absolutely. Like if I was to start all over again today, I probably wouldn't move over to gaming, because that data is now like 7 years later. That data is now there in a lot of different apps, business apps, productivity apps. At the end of the day, you just got to make people's lives easier. I think it's whatever you're adding value to people with your app. And that's where it comes for like people, like local businesses. Like if you're adding value to make your customer's life easier, that is probably the most important thing.
Yep. I know, like for me, I just switched project management packages. And one of my requirements was if there's not an app on my phone for it, I can check stuff on the fly. It's not happening. One of the things we were talking about offline was Google and their Google Drive app. And one of the things they do really well on their app is, and I didn't even know it was there until a couple of weeks ago, until somebody mentioned to me, you don't have to install a PDF scanner. You can actually do a scan right to your Google Drive from the in-app. Things like that, they just kind of make your business full or make your life full. And the whole purpose of an app is just to make our busy lives a little easier, not to compound life, if you want to put it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is a bit easier. And I think what's going to happen in the future is like we look at websites today, right? And we see how they're mandatory. A business without a website is dead in the water, right? Like you need to have a website as a business. But there was a time where you told a business this and they're like looking at it like, no, I don't need a website. So it's costing them, but it's not making them direct money back more than informational. Yep. Now it's gotten a lot more complicated than that. But if you were looking at that time, you didn't have a website, you'd pretty much be out. And I think the apps is going to come to the same thing. At some point, like you're going to look at an app right now and you'll be like, oh, my business might not need an app. But I think we're going to look back 20 years from now and be like, you know what? I don't have an app, or people can't reach out to me easily on mobile. That's a problem.
Yep.
That's going to be a real problem.
Yeah. And I think what's driving that is there's a couple things. Basically, the people going out and getting full-scale computers, so we're talking desktops and laptops, are people in business or people that are working or people that need them for school. But the casual users are saying, okay, all I need is a phone and a tablet. And we're seeing that even in the seniors market. So going out and saying, what do I need a computer for? All I need is a phone and a tablet, right? Exactly. So I think with that shift coming, there's going to be a shift in the marketplace as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like one thing we were talking about, last 6 years, PC sales have been down every single quarter. There's only one quarter last year they were actually up, but for 6 years they've been going down, and that proves that the shift is there. It's already happening. And you just look around us, it's definitely changed quite a bit.
Yep. More and more people are doing stuff cloud-based. So, you know, to be honest, whether you need an iOS or an Android device, even though there's a perceived marketing thing, I think the differences are changing, except for simplicity, are changing less and less in day. I think people, you know, whether you look at an app for a certain feature on iOS or on Android, most of them, the user experience is pretty well the same now.
Yeah.
I think the differences are getting less and less, and it's almost turning into a marketing preference.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the other thing is so one thing we didn't talk about before was that when I bought my iPhone 10 last year, I paid full price for it. And I started looking at the Android market because I think every couple of years you need to kind of look at both markets and have an open mind to seeing what, even though I'm an iOS guy, it doesn't mean that you shut the other side down, right? But what happened is I have Apple TV, I have an iPad, MacBook Pro, right? iMac. So I'm kind of in the economy of Apple already. So all of a sudden getting an Android phone would kind of give me that disconnect. And I think when you're saying marketing, I think they're also building the ecosystem around it, where you've got people who are already in the Google Home, right? Say they've already got their computers, they've already got all the Google products that kind of go with it. And I think that they're slowly, like, we don't even realize this, but they're building that ecosystem where you now have to go with their product, because if you don't, it's a disconnect and making your life easier.
I don't disagree. One of the markets I like to attribute this to is the digital SLR camera market. If you go to a Nikon camera, you're in that ecosystem because you're buying Nikon lenses. If you go to a Canon, you're in that ecosystem. And I truly think we're there with the market that we're in, where if you tend to go Apple, you go, it's easier because of the connections. If you tend to go PC/Google, you're kind of, and you can throw Amazon into that ecosystem as well a little bit, you know, where you're kind of, you decide. And, you know, you talked about Google Home and the home automation market. That's just a great example. I mean, you either go with Apple solution, go Google solution, you go with Amazon solution, and then you're kind of locked in. So I think you really got to take a good look and say, okay, Where do I really want to go, and which ecosystem do I want to live in? And that will drive what type of device you get, what type of phone you get, and so on. And I think that's like a spot on comment, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I know now whenever I buy anything, I'm going to be aware that, well, you know what, if I got to replace these devices, am I going to be staying in this ecosystem? Am I not?
Yep.
Right. And I think you said both ecosystems are good. It's just at this point, there are benefits of each, right? Like Samsung's got way better cameras on it, right? Then Apple's apparently with the next one going to catch up on that. And they're actually going to be in the same league. Yep. But there are pros on both sides. It's just really what ecosystem.
And then you've got a company, a Chinese company like Huawei, who's in that, and the camera on the P30. And I haven't looked at one, but I need to very soon, because I think my wife's looking at that one and saying, you know, I like the camera on that. Their reputation for their cameras is very good. I know I carry an LG ThinQ7, which is last year's model. The ThinQ8 is out. The camera on it is very good. I mean, I think the camera is as much to drive the smartphone now as what app you get. I really do. I mean, I think that's becoming, for a lot of people, a priority. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because I think the one thing that both Apple and Google Play does is the app market is a byproduct of them selling hardware.
Yep.
Right. They make some money. They don't make a lot of money on the app stores, but this is what sells their hardware. If the major apps, I think now you have to develop for both, right? If you're not in the business, if you're not in the mobile business where you're making 100% of your money from the app, right, you gotta be developing for both for your customers, because they are 50-50. But for the longest time, Apple and Google wanted you on their platform because they were selling hardware through what your apps were.
Yeah, and I think, and the other thing that's worth mentioning, just when I talk about the money, and it's not hardware, it's not always just hardware, it's also the patent money. Because if you ever look at, you know, Apple makes a patent after every Google device that's sold and vice versa, because they all have interchangeable patents out there. And the biggest patent company of them all is this Canadian company living up in Waterloo called BlackBerry. I mean, you know, they're not making any money on handsets. They're not making any money on apps. They're making all their money in the mobile space on patents right now. And that's kept BlackBerry alive, actually, because they're making millions of dollars on just what they own. Yeah,
and they're definitely a revolutionary company. It's sad to see BBM go next month. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're going to shut that down. But yeah, and it's crazy, because even in Blackwood, there are people who still in Waterloo that live by their BlackBerries, right?
Yeah. But I'm not surprised BBM's being shut down, because the biggest problem with app messaging is there's no messaging standard right now. And I don't know about you, but I have 7 messaging programs on my phone, so it's gotten stupid.
Yeah, I've got WhatsApp, I've got Facebook, LinkedIn has its own messaging in there. Very smart move by Facebook to actually go in the messaging business, because they pretty much had people already there. Yeah, and I think there's a good lesson in BlackBerry, because BlackBerry was a great tech company. They were really ahead of their time. They invented a lot. But like we were talking earlier, right? Design, programming, marketing, business. They didn't necessarily make it for the common user, where Apple made it really dummy-proof. Right, BlackBerry just did not do that.
No, they didn't. So let's kind of talk about making money from apps. There's a couple of ways to make money. One is in-app purchases, which we talked about. One is development for a third-party business, right, for somebody like yourself. And then there's the sale of the apps. Is there any other good way to make direct money or indirect money from the apps?
Yeah. So this is, this is a big conversation itself. And I think you've covered basically in-app purchases there, which could be either unlocking features or offering more credits or letting people say use something. The other, is currency is a big one when it comes to in-app purchases as well. The biggest trend right now is subscriptions. Like, it seems like if you look at the top grossing charts, the Netflix, right, of the world, it's subscription-based is probably, the hottest trend right now in it. And apps are definitely moving to a subscription base, because people don't mind as long as they're getting a value add on it. You do need to, it is definitely a piece of work. You need to be ongoing with adding value. Mm-hmm. So I would say with the direct from consumer, but I'd say with our business, most has been indirect. So the big one that you didn't touch on there was advertising. Yes. So that alone probably has like 10 different ways on it. And the biggest thing I'd say is like you can do interstitials, which are the static ads. You can do rewarded videos, right? You just do regular videos. So you do playable ads now, where you can actually play part of a game or part of something, take some actions in the actual advertisement. So you might actually see like an ad pop up, you know, say make these 3 moves. Mm-hmm. Right. So you actually get an idea of how the app works before you go to the app. And if you like it, then you can always go over there.
Yeah.
Right. I would say advertisement is definitely a big one. With all those user experience, it's really, really important. I see it sometimes in apps, and it frustrates me, because you might have like an app which is like 20 seconds to a minute to use, and then you show a 30-second video. It's like you want to piss your users off, right? Where if you're going to do something with a short user experience, go put in a static ad or put in something that can click, mm-hmm. right? If you're going to do like a 4-minute or 5-minute user experience and you put a 30-second ad in it, that's cool, right? Yeah. You really got to think about user experience. If they're spending more time on ads than they are using your app, that's just not a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. The other is rewarded videos or rewarded actions. So like offer walls, which include like... Yeah. Say taking surveys, right, and stuff like that, or like watching videos or stuff like that, where people are getting coins and stuff in it. That's also been pretty hot the last few years, where people are not going to pay for stuff in the app, but they will take an action by a third party, and you get paid for that, mm-hmm. Right?
So yeah, that's a big no. And I get where you're coming from with user experience. Like when I kind of look at, you know, I'm an Android user and I look at the Google Play Store, and I know before I download apps, I kind of look at quickly to see, is there anything glaring in the review section that's glaring? And my rule of thumb with reviews is if it's not well thought out, I kind of ignore the review. But one thing I do look for is the consistency with Google with user experience. And one of the big quorums I see with a lot of apps is the user experience is bad. There's too many ads. Their ads are too long, you know, so you gotta find that medium to make money, but you want your users there and not there, kind of thing.
Absolutely. One of the biggest gap holes I find user experience is the onboarding experience. Okay. I'm sorry, are you familiar with onboarding is, or should I just explain that out?
Go ahead and explain it.
But so onboarding experience is like when someone first comes in an app, how do they use your app, right? Yeah. So like you press this button, you go here, you do this, explains the features of an app, right? And I think a lot of apps when they're developed, the developer is only thinking, okay, let me make this app. It might be intuitive to them, but it's not intuitive to the rest of the world, right? So I think, a lot of apps are never opened a second time. So the first time you get into an app, how you have that user experience is really, really important. Right? So I think taking the time to doing that onboarding experience right is a really critical because your users are going to base it off the first of using your app, right? And I think with user experience, that quite often gets missed.
Yep. No question. Like we always say, people judge books by the cover. I think in apps, people judge it in the first 30 seconds. Is it hard to set up? Is it hard to get used to? Is it hard to onboard? And if the onboarding's bad, I can almost guarantee you, I know from my experience, I'll take that app and put it in the trash can very quickly, like I'm done. Because there's probably five other apps out there that do similar things. And if it's really bad, I just kind of goodbye, I'm finished. And you know, especially in the gaming space, I mean, you know, I'll kind of look at a program like Solitaire, and people laugh when I mention that. There's probably over 100 Solitaire apps in the iOS store, I would bet, easy, right?
And, oh, yeah.
And if it's awful, why wouldn't I just move to the next one, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, and I know that I've had this conversation with people. It's like, well, you open the app, you go to the menu, you just press this on it. If you want the tutorial, it says tutorial down here. Yes, you've been looking at this for a long period of time, and it's very easy to you. And I'm not going to disagree that it's not an easy app to use. But the first time they're in there, just make their life a little bit easier, right? Yes. By saying, like, yes, it is very intuitive, but sometimes things are intuitive. Also need to have that little bit of a walkthrough. And it's coming back to what you said, where the first 30 seconds, you don't get that person in. If they just show up to a menu and they're not sure what to click, you're going to lose them.
Yeah, so true. One of the things that you've moved into with your business lately is in the consulting. What kind of consulting are you doing for apps?
So I'm doing consulting more on the business side of it and also on the design side of it as well. Okay. So what I find is that a lot of apps, and the reason I believe that most apps fail is because you've got programmers who are building these apps or designers who are building these apps, but they don't understand the business and marketing side of it. And that includes things like analytics, right? Yep. As we talked about testing things, ongoing monetization, which we talked about, user experience we talked about. But it's just like the small things that make a big difference on it. So what I'm doing now is I've had people approach me, ask me to consult, and it's actually been kind of fun. So I'm now taking on clients to do consulting with them. But what I'll do is I'll sit down, look at their whole business, and find things that need to be done. Like doing this for 7 years, day in and day out of my own apps, you kind of see things in a very different way that other people see it.
Yep.
So it's just like finding those small, easy wins, that those small changes which can actually help make a bigger win. And the other thing is if people need a new app. So if you don't have an app right now and you're looking to get an app built, sit down and have that discussion as well, and helping plan out how to build an app very cost effectively.
So true. And one of the things you touched on is analytics. And I want to go there for a sec. Most small businesses or medium businesses or even large businesses, they don't know their numbers. And it's really, I know being a marketer, it's really frustrating sometimes when I sit down with a new client, and I say, okay, what are your numbers? I don't know. How did you do on this ad campaign? I don't know. How did you do on your website last month? I don't know. And I describe not knowing analytics to shooting darts at a dartboard blindfolded. Like I really do. Because if you can't measure it, you can't improve it, and you can't make it better, right?
So absolutely, yeah. And the thing is, it's interesting because I sat down with a client who had a successful business, six-figure business, and I started talking about analytics, and they didn't know. And I'm like, you know what? This could be a seven-figure business if you know the analytics in it, right? It blows my mind where people don't have analytics in their app. So I think it's pretty basic. I'll give you an example of it. So one of our apps, we were going through Google Analytics, and we had it in there, and we were looking at stuff, and I found something in there. One change increased my revenue by 25%. And it blew my mind. Like, it's how simple that is. Like, one change that took 2 hours, all of a sudden, we're now making 25% more revenue. Yeah. Like, that is awesome. That's the power of analytics right there.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And, you know, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it. And that's the biggest thing. So if there's any lesson, anybody listening, I don't care if it's apps, a website, or what you're doing, know what your numbers are, because you'll grow that way. And that's how you grow your business. So we've talked a little bit about apps. So I'm going to kind of go a little different now. You work differently than most people or very similar to a lot of people in this space. What are your favorite tools that you use to run your business?
Oh, what are my favorite tools to run my business? So we talked about Google Drive. So we use a lot of Google Drive to collaborate with our team. I use Trello. So yep. Trello is a good note-taking team and good to be able to keep track on it. Dropbox. I know that's going to make you cringe, but Dropbox.
No, I don't. It's interesting. And I love Trello, by the way. I was a Trello user for many, many years. And I was telling you earlier offline, I had one of the things I looked at for a new project management tool. And I was using Trello for project management. I've actually moved one more step. I've moved from Trello to a newer product called Notion, which you might have heard of.
Okay.
Notion does Trello style boards, but it does other things too. So it's kind of integrated. But yeah, anybody who's looking for a good tool to manage stuff, Trello is kind of a great product. I love it actually.
One thing I really like, I use Gmail over, like I have my business email addresses because you need to have it going to your website. It's only professional to do that. Yep. But I actually send everything to Gmail because I find the search in Gmail is just amazing. Yep. So like I could pull up in 2 seconds every conversation you and I have had since 2011, yep. right? It within seconds. And to me, that's like, I don't need to remember this stuff, right? Yep. So I actually find that, like, it might sound simple, but I find that Gmail search is a powerful tool. And same thing with Skype search. We were talking about Skype earlier.
Yeah.
And just like when I collaborate with the team, it's easier to have a Skype conversation because that way all the notes are there, right? You just use search.
Yeah, yeah. I would say to anybody looking for an email solution, I mean, our recommended doing work on the website is for your business is G Suite for that exact reason. G Suite, for those who don't know, lets you take your domain and send your domain email to Gmail. So, and it's not just about search, it's also about the spam filters. I mean, Gmail has the best spam filters in the industry by far. I just know if I take my email out of Gmail and I start running my corporate email, my spam goes up by 200%, and that just pulls my hair out. And then all the filters, I mean, the labeling and stuff like that. Sometime I'll show you offline, but I've got a convoluted set of over 200 Gmail rules that manage my inbox. That basically says, if I get an email from here, put it here and get it out of my inbox. And
I'm not 200, but I'm over 50 for sure.
Like, so you, yeah.
Yeah, so I get that.
So I need, is there any other tools you like? No.
On there, what else would I say? I guess, are you looking at business in general? Are you looking at more on the app side or both?
Both.
So I would say Google Analytics, again, for apps, I find Firebase to be really good on there just to keep it. Apple does give you some data. What I find is a lot of people don't even look at their Apple data, like what they get back in their back end of iTunes Connects, right? Because that actually gives you some data. And the interesting thing is you can work on like conversion with that, right? Changing icons, changing graphics, doing that kind of conversion and split testing that is really good. So you see how many people come through. Like I find that with apps, that's one thing that's overmiss is you'll see how many people have actually scrolled by your app, how many people clicked on your product page, right? And how many people have converted through. And small differences can make an easy win to get more installs by doing that.
Yeah, I would agree. It's all on numbers, and those are some great tools. Any tool coming up that you've looked at or something new that you've kind of said, either in the app space or not in the app space, that you say, geez, this is different, this would help, I need to look at this?
Well, I find it interesting because Zoom, like we're using Zoom right now, and it's like, oh, I have Skype, why would I need Skoom? But just the recording of it, and that makes it a lot easier to do. And I think Zoom is definitely doing some interesting things as well. So that's something that probably hasn't entered my atmosphere in the last 6 months on it, but I think it's pretty interesting.
They're really making inroads. I mean, I've been watching I'm a big hockey fan, and I've even seen some ads on some U.S. arenas with Zoom on the board right now. So they're really kind of going all in. They're advertising more, and they're putting themselves out there, which is interesting for a company that's really made their mark in the entrepreneur space. I mean, they don't do a lot of big business. You know, the Go to My Meeting is kind of the big business equivalent, the Citrix product, and they're so not in with the big businesses, but the small businesses, it's like night and day. So this has been a great conversation. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, consulting, wants to talk apps, what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, so going to mokoolapps.com is probably the best way, mokoolapps.com. Is probably the best way to say it's probably the best way to reach me. I can give you my email as well. So it's Mukul, M-U-K-U-L, at mukulapps.com as well. So you can reach out to me at all. And if they want to have a conversation on, yeah, doing an app or consulting or stuff like that, happy to have a conversation with them and then go from there.
Yeah. And thank you very much for your time today. It's been a great conversation, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the SDM Interview Show. This podcast is a production of StunningDigitalMarketing.com, the agency that can help you with your web design, WordPress security, and digital marketing needs. Please subscribe to this podcast. This podcast can be found on Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more. Please don't miss the next edition. This podcast comes out every Thursday for your listening enjoyment. Until next time, please keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. And we'll talk to you all soon. Have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.